What does psilocybin do to the default mode network? Psilocybin is converted in the body to psilocin, which switches on serotonin, 5-HT2A receptors that are densely packed on neurons in the cortex. One of the most striking effects is that it quiets the default mode network, DMN, the set of brain regions centered on the medial prefrontal cortex and posterior cingulate cortex that runs during self-reflection, mind wandering, and our ongoing sense of being a self. As the DMN's core hubs decouple, the ego can soften or dissolve. Networks that normally stay separate start communicating, brain activity becomes more entropic and flexible, and a window of heightened neuroplasticity opens. Researchers think this shake up and resettle is part of why a single dose can lift depression for weeks. Education, not medical advice. There is a part of your brain that is talking about you right now. Not to you, about you. It stitches your memories into a single narrator, worries about tomorrow, replays that awkward thing you said in 2019, and quietly maintains the feeling that there is a stable I sitting behind your eyes. Neuroscientists have a name for the network that does most of this work, the default mode network. And one of the most remarkable findings in modern psychedelic science is that psilocybin, the molecule in magic mushrooms, turns this network down. This article is education, not medical advice. That single fact sits underneath almost everything psychedelics do. The dissolving of the ego, the sense of unity, the flood of insight, and, increasingly, the clinical results in depression. We've looked at how psilocybin compares to LSD and at why the visual cortex generates geometry. Here we go to the heart of the matter, what the default mode network is, how psilocybin quiets it, and why a quieter DMN might be exactly what a stuck, over-rehearsed mind needs. Educational overview only, not medical or use advice. What the default mode network actually is. The default mode network was discovered almost by accident. In early brain imaging studies, researchers needed a baseline, what the brain does when a person is resting and not doing a task. To their surprise, a specific set of regions became more active during rest and quieted down whenever the person focused on the outside world. That set of regions, principally the medial prefrontal cortex, MPFC, the posterior cingulate cortex, PCC, and adjacent precuneus, and the angular gyri, became known as the default mode network, the brain's default setting, Wikipedia, default mode network. What is the DMN doing during all that rest? It turns out to be the machinery of the inner life, self-reflection, autobiographical memory, mind wandering, imagining the future, thinking about other people's minds and maintaining the running sense of me. It is the most metabolically expensive network in the resting brain, and it acts as a kind of orchestra conductor, a high-level hub that constrains and coordinates lower-level systems. Some researchers have gone so far as to call the DMN the closest thing the brain has to a neural correlate of the ego itself. That framing is debated, but it captures why what psilocybin does to this network matters so much. The key that fits the lock, 5-HT2A. Psilocybin is a prodrug. Your body rapidly strips off a phosphate group to make psilocin, the molecule that actually does the work. Psilocin's master key is the serotonin 5-HT2A receptor, and this is not a minor detail, it is the switch. The 5-HT2A receptor is densely expressed on the large pyramidal neurons of the deep cortical layers, exactly the cells that shape communication between brain regions. When psilocin activates them, it changes how those neurons fire and how networks talk to one another. Nichols 2016. How do we know 5-HT2A is the trigger and not a bystander? Because of a clean experiment, give someone ketanserin, a drug that blocks 5-HT2A receptors before psilocybin, and the psychedelic experience is largely abolished. The mind expansion, the ego changes, the altered perception all fade. Block the one receptor, and you block the trip. This makes psilocybin's effects mechanistically tractable in a way few drugs are. One receptor family opens the door to everything downstream, Vollenweider and Preller, 2018, OTW psilocybin mushroom treats, what psilocybin does to the DMN. In 2012, Robin Carhart-Harris and colleagues at Imperial College London ran a landmark study. They gave volunteers intravenous psilocybin inside an fMRI scanner and watched what happened to blood flow and brain activity. The prediction, based on how much the drug expands the mind, was that activity would increase. The opposite happened. Psilocybin decreased cerebral blood flow and BOLD signal, and the decreases were concentrated in the brain's most important hub regions, the MPFC and the posterior cingulate cortex, the twin anchors of the default mode network. Carhart, Harris, et al., Haik, PNES, 2012. Crucially, the DMN didn't just get quieter, it got less integrated. Under normal conditions, the MPFC and PCC are tightly coupled, oscillating together as a unit. Psilocybin decoupled them, loosening the network's internal cohesion. And the more the DMN came apart, the more profound the subjective experience. The drop in coupling tracked the intensity of the effects. The conductor had stepped back from the podium, and the orchestra was free to play in new ways. Ego dissolution, when the narrator goes quiet. This is where the neuroscience meets the felt experience. One of the most reliable effects of a strong psilocybin dose is ego dissolution, the temporary loss of the normal boundary between self and world. People describe becoming part of everything, emerging with the room, the music, the cosmos. The sense of being a separate individual behind the eyes softens or disappears completely. It can be terrifying or the most meaningful experience of a person's life, often both. Researchers even built a validated questionnaire, the Ego Dissolution Inventory, to measure it. Noor et al., 2016. The neural signature lines up beautifully. The degree of ego dissolution people report correlates with the disintegration of the default mode network and with the decoupling of the MPFC and PCC. When the network that maintains the self loosens its grip, the self it was maintaining loosens too. This is one of the tightest brain-to-experience correspondences in all of consciousness science. Quiet the self network, and the sense of self quiets with it. Carhart, Harris et al., 2012. The entropic brain and rebus. To make sense of all this, Carhart, Harris proposed the entropic brain hypothesis. In ordinary waking consciousness, the brain runs in a relatively constrained, orderly, low-entropy state, efficient, predictable, and dominated by high-level networks like the DMN keeping everything in line. Psychedelics push the brain into a higher entropy state. More disordered, more flexible, less predictable, with a richer repertoire of possible configurations. The subjective richness and chaos of the trip mirrors a genuine increase in the diversity and flexibility of brain activity. Carhart, Harris et al., 2014. A later refinement developed with the neuroscientist Carl Friston is the rebus model. Relaxed beliefs under psychedelics. The brain is a prediction machine. It constantly imposes high-level expectations, beliefs, priors, the story of who you are, onto incoming experience, and the DMN sits near the top of that hierarchy. By quieting the DMN, psilocybin relaxes the grip of those top-down priors, letting information flow more freely up from the senses and the emotions. For a depressed brain locked into rigid, punishing beliefs about the self and the world, that loosening is exactly the point. It makes the system briefly revisable. Carhart, Harris, and Friston, 2019. From disintegration to global integration. If psilocybin only tore networks apart, it would be merely disruptive. What makes it interesting is what happens alongside the DMN's disintegration. The brain becomes more globally connected. Regions that normally keep to their own separate clubs, that rarely talk directly, begin communicating across the usual boundaries. The brain's tidy modular structure gives way to a more integrated, freely cross-talking whole. One influential map of the psychedelic brain showed a dense web of new connections replacing the normal, compartmentalized pattern. This has real clinical weight. In a 2022 study pooling two separate psilocybin for depression trials, patients who responded showed increased global integration and a reduction in the brain's modularity. The DMN loosened and the whole brain became more interconnected. And the size of that change predicted how much their depression improved. Antidepressant SSRIs, tested the same way, did not produce this signature. The reintegration of a stuck brain, not mere sedation, appears to be where the therapeutic action lives, Dawes et al. Nature Medicine, 2022. The afterglow, a window of neuroplasticity. The acute trip lasts hours, but some of the most important effects come afterward. Psilocybin, like other 5-HT2A psychedelics, is a psychoplastogen. It rapidly promotes neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to rewire itself. In animal studies, a single dose drives the growth of new dendritic spines, the tiny connection points between neurons. in the frontal cortex within 24 hours, and many of those new connections persist for weeks. The molecular machinery involves increased BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and activation of growth pathways downstream of the 5-HT2A receptor, Xiao et al., Neuron 2021. Put the pieces together and a picture emerges. During the trip, psilocybin quiets the DMN and relaxes rigid priors, making the mind unusually open and revisable. In the days that follow, a surge of plasticity lets new patterns take hold. The metaphor Carhart-Harris uses is shaking the snow globe. A brain frozen into a deep, narrow groove of depression or addiction is briefly melted into a more malleable state and can then resettle into a healthier configuration, especially when the experience is supported by good therapy and integration. The DMN typically reintegrates within a day, but the mind that reassembles around it can be meaningfully different. Carhart-Harris et al., 2017. The clinical payoff. All of this would be a neuroscientific curiosity if it didn't help anyone. It does. Psilocybin-assisted therapy has produced some of the most striking results in modern psychiatry. A Johns Hopkins trial found that two doses, paired with psychotherapy, produced large, rapid reductions in major depression that lasted for months, Davis et al., JAMA Psychiatry, 2021. A head-to-head Imperial College trial pitted psilocybin against the standard SSRI escitalopram and found psilocybin at least as effective with faster and broader improvements on several measures, Carhart-Harris et al., NEJM 2021. The largest program has come from Compass Pathways, testing a standardized synthetic psilocybin, KEYUMP360. Its phase 2b trial in 233 patients with treatment-resistant depression showed a single 25 mg dose significantly outperformed a 1 mg control at 3 weeks, Goodwin et al., NEJM 2022. In 2025 and early 2026, Compass reported that both of its phase 3 trials hit their primary endpoints. The first, COMP-ORZO 5, 258 patients, and the second, COMP-ORZO 6, 2 dose, each showed statistically significant, clinically meaningful reductions in depression versus control, p 0.001, with effects appearing the day after dosing and holding for weeks. The company has said it intends to file a new drug application with the FDA by late 2026, Compass Pathways 2026. The honest caveats. Now the discipline. The DMN story is elegant, well replicated, and probably part of the truth. But it is not the whole truth, and it is easy to overtell. First, correlation is not causation. DMN changes track the experience closely, but psilocybin acts across the entire cortex and other networks, the visual system, the salience network, the thalamus, change too. The DMN is a lead character, not the only one. Second, the DMN ego equation is a useful metaphor, not an established fact. The self is almost certainly distributed more widely than one network. Third, the human imaging studies are often small, and neuroscience has learned hard lessons about overreading small fMRI samples. And the clinical picture, though genuinely exciting, comes with real limits. These are supervised trials with intensive psychological support. The drug and the therapy are a package, and the setting matters enormously. Psilocybin is not risk-free. It can trigger overwhelming fear and confusion. It is inadvisable for people with or at risk of psychosis. It briefly raises heart rate and blood pressure, and unsupervised use in a bad set or setting can be genuinely destabilizing. A quiet DMN is not automatically a healing DMN. Context is what turns a chemical event into a therapeutic one. Educational context only, not medical or use advice. The honest bottom line. Psilocybin gives neuroscience something rare, a clean thread running from a single receptor to the structure of consciousness itself. Psilocin switches on 5-HT2A receptors. That quiets the default mode network, that loosens the ego and relaxes the rigid priors of a stuck mind. The whole brain integrates more freely, and a window of plasticity opens in which a person, with support, can lay down new patterns. It is the closest thing we have to watching the machinery of the self go briefly transparent and then reassemble. Whether that becomes a mainstream medicine will be decided by regulators and by careful trials, not by hype. But the underlying science is real, and it is one of the most beautiful stories the brain has told us about itself. UTW Journal is educational and does not provide medical advice. Psilocybin is a potent psychoactive substance and, in most places, a controlled one. It can provoke intense fear, confusion, or lasting distress, is inadvisable for people with a personal or family history of psychosis, and raises heart rate and blood pressure. The clinical results described here come from supervised trials with professional psychological support and do not imply that unsupervised use is safe or advisable. If you are struggling with depression, please reach out to a qualified professional. This article is education, not medical advice.